I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time to welcome in a special guest, Chris Nowinski, founding CEO of the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Chris, old friend of mine from our WWE days together. And Chris, what's going on, my brother?
Good morning, Taz.
How you doing, great man? Long time no talk, man.
I know. I miss you, buddy.
Same here, man. I got AB sitting in here. Moose is on vacation, so... He's running around the beach somewhere. Just picture that, a moose on the beach. It's awkward, you know?
Andrew.
Yeah, I know, right? So listen, man, what do you make of Coach Fedora from UNC, his comments in regards to not, you know, no evidence of linking CTE to football?
Well, it's hard to know what to react to because he made a lot of different comments and a lot of different things over the course of the day once he sort of started walking back what he originally said. Mm. So eventually he said, the evidence is there, the repetitive hits to the head cause CTE. And so then it became sort of a game of semantics of, it's not quote unquote football, but hits to the head that can happen in lots of sports. But what got everybody riled up was just, I think the idea of playing football as the victim in a space where actually football players are victim of a pretty terrible disease. And I think we need to be a little more, it seemed a little callous, I would say.
Right. No, so real quick, for those that don't know, and you've been on the show before, Chris, and you know, maybe explain, the Concussion Legacy Foundation that you're the founding CEO of. Maybe explain what you guys do for those that are newer to maybe me and Moose's program here and maybe newer to you. So just give a little quick backstory on what you got going on.
Sure. So started the foundation 11 years ago, a couple years after a series of concussions ended my career working with you. At the beginning, we were really focused on the concussion issue, and the concussion issue was a huge one back then, because back then we didn't ever talk about it.
Right.
We were putting people right back in. And I would say over the last decade, through advocacy, through research, we've convinced everybody concussions are serious, and now we take much better care of them. But along the way, actually the first move we made as an organization is that we partnered with Boston University and the VA to start a brain bank of athletes. Because at that time, two NFL players had their brain studied post-mortem, and both had this disease, CTE, which we used to call punch drunk because we thought it was only boxers. Mm. And I thought, gosh, as a former college football player myself, I was like, if the first two guys have this, there might be something here, but we need to accelerate this research. And so I actually started calling families when football players passed away to ask for brain donations. And actually last week we got our 600th brain donation over the last 11 years.
Wow, crazy.
It's a lot, yeah. And so the CT conversation yesterday has a lot to do with what we've learned over those 10 years and the fact that we published the study last year in the Journal of the American Medical Association, one of the most prestigious in the world, saying that out of the first 202 football brains we studied, 87% of them had CTE, and it was almost all of the NFL players. It was all but
wow.
One, 110 of 111. And so that's obviously led to a big national discussion about what are those thousands of hits to the head doing to these athletes. And obviously it's leading to lower enrollment in youth football, which I think is appropriate. But now the people in football, you know, are saying things like they feel under attack.
Right, right. Hence what Fedora said, what he said. Yeah.
Exactly.
Chris, I think it was in the Washington Post. I think they paraphrased you, and I guess this is somewhat in defense, minorly, of Coach Fedora. Like, semantics, he's not necessarily wrong in what he said, like, from a factual standpoint. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but semantically, is he right here? I mean, to give him some credit for something, how do we describe it?
Yeah, I would say his initial comment saying, there's no link, or I don't necessarily believe the link. I mean, he said it many different ways, so it's hard to say which one represents what he thinks. But so I guess we can just sort of jump to what science believes right now.
Okay.
And you've got this sort of debate going on. And if we want to go sort of high level here, part of the debate that we're having in this country about this disease is the difference between looking at it from a medical perspective in like treating a patient and the difference in looking at it from a public health perspective, as in the whole health of football players. And so some of the pushback you hear from doctors is saying, they don't necessarily believe in causation, and that not everybody with CTE is going to have horrible symptoms. And the second part is true, right? So part of what we need to message to former football players and other athletes who've had a lot of hits to the head is you can have CTE and not have it destroy your life. And we say that a lot because there's been a lot of suicide of people with CTE. We want to make the point that some people live, you know, pretty normal and comfortable lives, you know, maybe until they get dementia very late. But it's not horrible for everybody, although it's definitely horrible for some, and it can become very stressful on your family to deal with a former athlete with CTE. The causation question, though, is sort of what you've got a handful of doctors who are somehow all being hired by the NFL and the NHL in defending lawsuits, who are out there willing to say they don't believe in causation. And that, you can imagine, those are the people, I know some of them are looking to get hired as experts in the courtroom, but they're also those people in the back of the class saying, I'm going to be the last person to be convinced so I can prove that I'm the most disciplined scientist. Because if you actually shift your view then to the public health world, everybody there is saying this is causation, because there's no other hypothesis out there to say why are all these athletes who've been hit in the head thousands of times having this degenerative brain disease. We've actually worked out almost the entire mechanism. We can give mice this disease just by hitting them in the head, wild mice.
Wow.
The one thing in common of everybody is that they have hits to the head. So the CDC, the National Institutes of Health, all these experts are out there willing to say causation because, you know, we're basically at 99.99% that's it, unless somebody comes up with some miracle variable that is causing this disease.
Yeah, and I just think it's important to say in regards to the University of North Carolina football program and Coach Fedora, now, Chris, I'm not speaking for you. I'm just saying for our program, for myself and AB here. At any point, are we not saying that Coach Fedora runs a dangerous program or that he doesn't care about his players? He actually, we don't have the sound, but I know I heard it myself yesterday. Fedora did say, Chris, he said they have, I'm not familiar with this device, you might be, accelerometers in helmets?
Yeah, accelerometers, yeah.
Yeah, they have those down in Chapel Hill. And also many retired NFL football players from the NFL go down to Chapel Hill for CTE research. So I don't think that Coach Fedora is running a dangerous program, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, and I'm not trying to pile on here, because he does actually have a very good track record of inviting a very good research team at UNC to study on his players and to actually use those accelerometers to train when they have bad habits that are causing big head hits. So he's been an innovator, and who knows where those statements really came from. He's obviously speaking to a certain audience when he's trying to message that the ball's under attack, but he's also, I don't think this is a bad guy. He has, but I think it's all, the danger of the things he said, though, is taking the focus off that, hey, we do have to take responsibility for this game and making it safer for the players that play it, especially when you can start bringing up points like, he's the highest paid state employee in North Carolina, making almost $2 million a year. His players get $0 a year. But many of them are getting CTE because they're playing for them and have no long-term medical care. When you start using that framework, it starts to make those statements look bad.
Maybe you can explain, Chris, what an accelerometer is in the helmet.
Sure. It's a small device that is used to record how fast a helmet is accelerating or decelerating, with the idea that those have been used in research to help us better understand how frequently and how hard athletes are getting hit in the head in their sports, and also trying to pick up sort of directions and rotational acceleration and vectors so that we can start to, at the beginning, part of the idea was, could we determine a threshold for when the brain is actually getting injured and when you're getting a concussion? And what we've learned is that there is no threshold. There's so many variables going on in individuals and in their brain. And there's even a publication last week showing that how your brain sort of moves with every heartbeat. And so even where you are in your heart pumping cycle is going to affect the status of your brain when you're hit. But where they've been great for research is they're actually telling us how many times athletes are getting hit in the head. And, I first started seeing this research years ago. It was quite shocking. You know, you're talking about college football players getting hit in the head nearly 1,000 times a year. There's been high school football players who've played both ways and never leave the field that have recorded taking 2,500 hits in a year. And that adds up over time. And what's been great for the teaching lessons for the college coaches is that there was just a study last week at the University of Florida that found that in practice, 80% of the bad hits came in three drills. When they're, a big running drill, a big all team live drill.
So like the days of doing like nutcrackers in Oklahoma, those are gone, I guess.
They should be gone. They're definitely not gone everywhere, but they're less and less. And if we keep training, if the coaches pay attention to this and are willing to accept that repetitive hits to the head are what causes CT, we could actually reduce risk by nearly half if we just changed practice.
Dude, I remember being in high school doing those nutcracker drills. I know you've done them too, Chris. And the whole team's going crazy. You're making these crazy hits and being dizzy. And coach's like, get back in, keep going. I remember that. And real quick, for those that don't know what a nutcracker drill is, I bet you a lot of people don't. It's like you lay on your back, I lay on my back. We're kind of head-to-head, both of us on our back, maybe a football length between us. And then the coach blows the whistle. We both get up, and we just drill each other while the whole team circled around us. That's basically what a nutcracker is, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. We used to do one where we stood in the middle of, 15 guys, and coach would yell out a number.
A number. A guy would come at you. Yeah. I know, dude. I've done it. Yeah. I know.
There were some really stupid drills that we used to do because we didn't think those hits cost anybody anything.
Yeah, there was no education behind it or research on it. So, yeah.
It had nothing to do with football.
No, nothing. No, just the machismo thing, you know?
Yep. Chris, I want to ask you real quick about Coach Fedora also saying football has never been safer than it is now. Obviously, that's a relative sentence. What in your mind, what's the grade for at least the NFL in terms of making things safer than it was just a few years ago?
Oh, I mean, the NFL is dramatically safer, and I really give that credit to the NFL Players Association. But, you know, the independent doctors in the sideline, the education for the players, the penalizing certain hits, and that'll increase this year, the dramatic reducing of hitting in practice. But I think that what the NFL has done shows how far we have to go to even get to a place where we're comfortable for adults. Mm. And that's why what the Concussion Legacy Foundation is really driving to the football community is, hey, if you actually want much better outcomes for these players and reduce their risk of CT, the number one thing you can do is actually wait until you start playing tackle football until high school. We have a program called Flag Football Under 14. And learn flagfootballu14.org. But I mean, if you're a parent out there thinking about signing your kid up for youth football,
it's
the best thing you can do is go flag until high school.
Yeah.
And you lose nothing and you protect them from so much risk.
That's it. Well, listen, Chris, man, much appreciated, my friend. And that's Chris Nowinski, founding CEO of Concussion Legacy Program Foundation. Chris, thanks a lot, bro.
Thanks, Taz. Thanks, Andrew.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.